love how his presence is so here and so near, and that it's a tangible feeling of peace. And I just encourage you that if there's any part of you that doesn't feel peace right now, that you would just take a really deep breath in and breathe in his peace. Because it is here and it is available to you. And so today, as I kick us off this morning, I really want to lay a foundation for the rest of our day today. And I kind of want to give you a big picture of what we are going to be doing over the next few hours together. And in Hebrews 4, it talks about that that Christ is rest, he is peace, but it also says that he will come in, and he says his word is alive and active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates, even dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. And I think for some of us, we might have come into the room and wondered, God, first of all, do you see me? And do you turn away when you do? And he says, son and daughter, I see you. I actually see into you. And it is me, Christ, that will come in and discern what needs to go and what will stay. And so I encourage you today as we move forward that you would rest in the person of Jesus and allow him to speak to you and trust that he is the one that can discern between your mind, your will, your emotions, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and why. And so today, to start us off, I want to talk about some components that go into something called a stronghold. And I think too many of us live inside of a stronghold, and we might not have words for it. And so today, I want to give you words for a stronghold so that you can walk away free. So I have a question for you. Has anyone in the room been in a car accident? Okay, I'm not alone. This is good. Okay, so keep your hands up. This is not like you're not going to get a prize, but I'm just curious. If you've had more than three, keep your hands up. Okay, I'm also not alone in the room. Okay, if you've had more than five, keep your hands up. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry. This is going to speak to you. So I was in several car accidents, and some people might say that I'm a horrible driver. I've tried to do better over my life, but I still can't promise anything. It depends on if I'm in a hurry or if I'm at peace, and unfortunately, I'm in a hurry too many of the time. I'm working on that peace thing. One time in particular, I was a car sandwich. Has anyone been a car sandwich before? You were the middle, like you were the filling to the Oreo? Just, okay, a few of us. So I was probably 17, 18. I was 18 because my man and I were dating. And anyway, I won't go down that road. But anyway, I was 18. he's 10 years older than I am. So I had to be 18. So I was 18. Stand up. Yeah. The love of my life. So I was 18, and I was working at the Gap, and because that's what you do when you're 18. And I was on my way to work one day, and I was may or may not have been putting on lipstick, and had a glass of water between my legs and M&Ms. Oh, to be 18. That was my breakfast. So to be 18 again. So I was driving with the water and the M&Ms, and I'm like, you know, and I look up, and everyone had stopped in front of me, and I slammed on my brakes. And there was a truck behind me with like a big like deer guard thing. And I mean, just sandwiched me. Like the car was like this. And M&Ms, this is what I remember. M&Ms went flying forward, like ding, 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 ding. I was like, oh my gosh, and my water spilled everywhere. That was probably the worst, but I've had several. And honestly, for a long time after that car accident, I was fearful to drive. And I became fearful to drive at night because I started like slowing down my, not slowing down, but like I wasn't driving as much because I was fearful. And so then that kind of bled into, well, then now I don't really drive at nighttime very much. And I remember specifically having to get over the fear and move past the event of the car accident to get back to my normal life. So then another car accident happened and a fender bender happened and all the things. And what ended up happening is I was the worst backseat driver you can imagine. Front seat, back seat, didn't matter. It was all like, I do it to this day. I did it yesterday. Now I don't do this. I grab the side of the door. I'm like, oh, slow down. Because I'm so fearful that we're gonna run into the car in front of me and then I'm gonna be rear-ended behind. And so oftentimes this happens in our life. We have things that happen. They cause fear and pain in our life and we find ourselves stuck in a cycle. But for today, I want to call that cycle a stronghold. So the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6, Paul is talking about his authority in Christ, which I think this is so awesome. His authority in Christ, he says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they are of divine power to demolish strongholds, fortresses, and we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the nature and the knowledge of God. In the Message translation, it says, I like this one. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, and fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. So at one point back in history, they literally built fortresses. And they built these so that they would stay safe. So they would build them on a high ground and they would build really tall buildings and they would have moats around them and they were to protect themselves from the enemy, their legitimate enemy. Today, we do the same thing. We build these houses in our minds of thoughts, and we have actions and defenses behind them, all in attempts to keep ourselves safe. But when they legitimately built fortresses for safety in history, that was for a real enemy. Today, we don't have a real enemy. We have a God that has conquered the enemy. But instead, we still build these fortresses, these high places in our life, in attempts to keep ourselves safe. And so today, I want us to go through some key components of what it looks like to live inside of a stronghold. And my heart for you is that you are going to experience some freedom by being able to put language to some things that you've been wrestling with for a really long time. So I found this scripture. God is just like the coolest. I mean, like I can be reading scripture and then he's like, look at this. I'm like, oh, that was amazing. So this was an aha moment I had 2 days ago. I'm gonna let you in on this. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we'll start at verse 9. It's in the Passion Translation. It says, we are co-workers with God and you are God's cultivated garden, the house he is building. Builders, be aware. Let every builder do his work carefully, according to God's standards, for no one is empowered to lay an alternative foundation other than the good foundation that exists, which is Jesus Christ. The quality of materials used by anyone building on this foundation will be made apparent whether it has been built with gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw. What we build with matters. So in the components of anatomy of a stronghold, I want to start with the first one, which is an event. Events happen in our life. We have things that come up. Sometimes those things are done to us. Some car accidents, maybe like the one that I was putting on my lipstick, my fault. I didn't admit it at the time. Probably my fault. But there were other car accidents that I was in that was not my fault. I got rear-ended by someone that they weren't paying attention. Sometimes you've got events in your life that happen that are out of your control, but nonetheless, they are events. And I want you to think of those events as lumber. So we're gonna build a house together. Those events that happen in your life are like lumber that get thrown on your foundation. So we know that Jesus said, build on my foundation. Build on the person of who I am. But we also know in scripture that sometimes it says we can build on faulty foundations. Sand, rock, all the things. So pay attention on what you're building on, and let's pay attention to what building materials we're building with. So with events that happen in your life, sometimes those events can be neglect. For some in the room, possibly you were left or abandoned or orphaned as a child. That was an event that happened to you and you had no say in it. For some of you, you might be wrestling in this like cycle of shame because maybe you caused an event. But regardless, events happen. I think we can all agree with that. Sometimes events can be so small. Sometimes it can be a conversation that was had on the playground with a friend. And maybe you really just wanted to play kickball with everyone else, but you really weren't super athletic. And they never picked you. You were always picked last. And not because it was good. And that maybe scarred you. Maybe you overheard someone talking about you. Maybe you were made fun of. Maybe you lived in a family that was an abusive family. Maybe you experienced sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse. Maybe you have wrestled with fear all of your life and you can't quite put your finger on it. Remember what the word says. It is the word of God. It is his love for you that he can sort through that. So when lumber gets thrown on your foundation, that will produce fear and pain. Fear and pain is real. And I think too often we try to dismiss it. And we find ourselves in this cycle of like, if I feel fear, then I'm not a good enough Christian. I gotta pray more. If I feel fear, if I'm experiencing any type of fear, well, then I don't have faith. But when God is saying, actually fear, the feeling of fear and the feeling of pain is part of the way that I wired you, it's what you do with it that matters. So after we've got an event, the lumber has been put on our foundation and now we are experiencing fear and pain. And in this moment, it's like the enemy comes in our lives as kind of a puppeteer. And he's like, Hey, so I can help you with that. That fear you're feeling, I can help you reason that. Let me tell you why that happened to you. And he's going, here's a hammer and here's some nails. Let's get to work. And in our, sometimes in that fear and pain and unknowingly we say, all I wanna do is be fixed. All I wanna do is live over here where I feel good all the time. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll take the hammer and I'll take the nails. Let's go to work. So now the enemy comes in and he says, let me tell you why you were neglected as a kid. Let me tell you. Let me tell you why you were never picked on the playground. Let me tell you why you should not drive at night or you can't. So now we start believing things about ourselves, lies, that are not true. So when we experience and we partner with a lie in our life, that lie can be a lie about God, a lie about ourselves, or a lie about others. Sometimes it can be all three, a mixture of two, doesn't really matter. A lie is a lie. Sometimes we don't know which one it is, but remember, your loving Father is going to reveal that to you. So if right now, if things are popping up in your mind, you immediately want to go to the left side of the brain of like, okay, well, let's fix it. I got to get this thing figured out. Okay, I've got to start dissecting it. No, stay in the right and rest. God's going to reveal. Just listen. So whenever we're partnering with lies in our life, it could sound like something like this. I was neglected or abandoned because I'm unlovable. I am alone because I'm not good enough. I can't ever get ahead in my life because I am a day late and dollar short, always. I am mean. I can't seem to get that job promotion because I'm not smart enough. Because I have a disability. And so when we partner with those lies in our life, what happens is we are removing ourselves from the character and nature of who God is and what he's trying to speak over our life. Because remember, God is saying to us, I am your sure foundation. I am the fortress that you run to. Come to me and you will find safety. Come to me and I will give you identity. I will help explain to you what is going on in your life. But the enemy is saying, if you'll take my hammer and my nails, we can do this probably quicker. Let's get a quick fix. So now as we are navigating and we're starting to like, oh, you're right. You're right, I'm not smart enough. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get smarter. That's the fix to it. So sometimes we believe these lies and we initiate a fix, and then we find ourselves stuck in the cycle again and again of the lie. Instead of being okay with saying, whoa, wait a second. I think I'm believing something about myself that's not true. God, what do you say about that? Whenever we are believing a lie, immediately judgment tries to creep in, right? So it's like, so if someone was mean to you on the playground and they didn't pick you, you're like, well, it's because, I mean, he is so stuck up. I mean, snooty. Do you know that they don't let anyone in their friend group, and that's why they didn't invite me. And judge. You know why I can't get a promotion at work? It's because that boss. That boss, he does not like me, and he does this to me and that to me, and that's why I can't get ahead. Because when we place judgment on someone, we feel like it relieves the pressure on us, but really we're just like using the hammer and nails against us. It'll show itself. Remember what the word says, like your building materials will be revealed because your house cannot stand when it's not built correctly. So as we're making these judgments, oftentimes the very thing that happens next is now we are going to make promises. We like to call those inner vows. I will never be like that kid on the playground. I will never be snooty. I will never have a clique. I will never be like my mom. I will never be like my dad. I will never treat my siblings the way. I will always like teach my kids that they're gonna treat their siblings that way because that will not happen in my family like it happened in my family before. And promises, I'm gonna. And what happens when we're doing that is we're saying, God, I've got this. I'm building. I am working on my house. I'm good. Stay there. I'm tired, but like, I got this. So we are working on our house. Now, at this point, we've got our house framed up. Now we have got to put some sheetrock on the house. And now we slip into a thing called self. So after we have worked really hard to remove ourselves from that painful event that happened in our life, to protect ourselves and shield ourselves from fear and from pain that we're experiencing, and now the pain of the lie that we're holding on to, because it is hurtful to hold on to a lie. It is something that will fester in your life and you can't quite put the fire out. You dump the water on, it comes right back. You dump the water on, it comes right back. It's a killer. And so in the attempts to get our house set up and to find a fix for the event that happened and to remove ourselves and to make judgments and promises and I will never, now we've got this sheetrock put around our house and now we're presenting it to the world. Here I am. Here's my house. Here is self. I have worked really hard on this. I've been building with my hammer and my nails. I'm exhausted. Would you help me? I'm exhausted. I'm going to need to be codependent with you because I'm too tired because I've been working really hard and no one will help me. And everybody, what is that saying? Something about everybody eats worms? I don't know. Something like that. And so we put this thing called self. We put our sheetrock on around our house and we're living in this thing called self. And I want to tell you something. It's exhausted to feel as though you were a slave to the build instead of a son and daughter to the builder. So I would say if you came in tired today, you need to ask yourself, am I a slave to the build? See, in this place called self that we have mastered, we think, now we find ourselves in addictions oftentimes here. We find ourselves in coping mechanisms. We find ourselves in ways that we defend ourselves because at the end of the day, we're exhausted by the build. And we've got to find some way to relieve some pressure off of ourselves so we can remain in our faulty house of self. And so living in this house of self that you have built with the wrong tools and maybe on the wrong foundation, now we start picking up things like pornography. I just need something to make me feel good in the moment. Now we start picking up addictions to drugs. Now we start picking up coping mechanisms with food. It would just be easier if I could go downstairs and eat because in that moment, I'll feel like everything's okay. And so we begin to create these defenses in our lives and picture those defenses as like paint colors. So like but they're like interior. So we've got the house built. We've presented it to the world. Now we're going to go inside the house. And we are painting. And I mean, like, we're just painting it with some codependency. And we're painting it with some food addiction. And we're painting it with isolation. And we're painting it with drug abuse and pornography and fantasy. If I can just scroll on my phone long enough and fantasize about what I see, then maybe I'll feel okay. We paint and we put pictures on the wall of people that we've been blaming. It's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. It's reminders of our history and our past and our painful event and the fear that we've been living in. And the inside of our house is full of sorrow. It is full of pain and it keeps us in a cycle that we just desperately want to get out of. And so now as we go into the next component, as we have presented ourselves to the world as something, here is me, myself. But inside of my house, I am aching and I am miserable and I just want out. But what we've presented to the world, we start getting responses and reactions back. So if we've painted our house white, but our favorite color is purple, and people are like, oh, I mean, I'm so glad you didn't paint your house purple. I hate the color purple. You're like, that offended me. I love purple. And it's like, but you painted your house white. I thought you loved white. Well, I didn't want you to see that. But I love purple, and now I'm hurt. Now I'm going to put your face in my wall on the inside. You wounded me again. Now I'm wounded again. Now I've had another event in my life. And why don't people see me? Why don't they come rescue me? Why don't my friends and my family help me? But we put this self, and we've been living out of the wrong tree, and we've been working really hard. When really what God is saying is, would you just come rest and be with me and let's build on my foundation? So as we react and there's a response with others, the cycle repeats itself over and over and over again. And today we're going to talk about different components that can get you stuck in this cycle in different ways. And for some of you, you probably have already maybe thought of an event that happened in your life, and maybe you can't quite put words to why the event popped in your head, but it did. I encourage you, rest. He will reveal it to you. You're not going to leave this place today a mess. That's not his heart for you. Trust the process. So I want us to go into a few minutes of really just kind of sitting with the Lord a little bit. And I want us to begin to ask him a few questions. And the way that we're going to do this is we're just going to have some music playing, and this will kind of be the way that we do all of our activations today. So everyone can take a deep breath and let it out. I know sometimes this is like, oh my gosh, what are you going to make me do? You are safe. It is okay. Find a comfortable spot. This is between you and the Lord. This is not between you and your spouse. There is zero elbow punching, and I don't say that to be funny. This is between you and the Lord. This is between you and the Christ that says, I am peace. I know the motives of your heart. I can discern you. And I will discern your friend. And I will discern your spouse. And so rest easy. So as we move into this activation, I just want you to close your eyes. And we're just going to have some soft music playing behind me. Just get comfortable. And for some of you here in the room, you might can say, oh my gosh, I've been building with the wrong tools and the wrong components, and I don't even know what's real. I want to remind you what we did last night. That God can speak to you in a million different ways. Sometimes it's a feeling. Sometimes it's a picture that pops in your mind. Sometimes it's a word that you hear. But his voice is kind. And he loves you. And so I just want you to ask the Lord today, have I been building with any faulty building materials? I want you to ask, Holy Spirit, was there an event that caused me to pick up the wrong materials, to pick up the hammer and nail, to go to work on my own? Did something happen in my life that you want to reveal? If you're picturing or remembering an event and you feel fear in any way, I just want you to say, Jesus, come close. And I want you to notice what you feel now. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, did I believe something about myself, about you, or about others because of what happened to me that is just not true? He's showing you something that you've been believing that's not true, and even a painful event. In your mind, with your imagination, I want you to picture the cross. Not the cross with Jesus on it, the empty one, the tomb that's empty. Sometimes we need Jesus right with us to give him back the very thing that he paid for. So I just ask and encourage you, that thing that you so desperately need to lay at the cross, the finished work, I want you to ask Jesus, Jesus, will you come with me? You go with me and let's lay this at the cross together, at the foot of the cross. I want you to walk up and lay that thing down. And as you step back, I want you to say in your mind, I break up with that lie that I've been believing. I leave that event at the foot of the cross. I want you to ask Jesus this question. He's there with you. I want you to ask him, what is true? What is true about you? What is true about me? What is true about them? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, have I built a house of self? Do I try to defend and comfort myself in ways that are hurting me? And that thing that he's showing you, that he's reminding you of, that he's just saying, son and daughter, I love you. And that is hurting the one that I love. I just want you to say, forgive me for trying to protect myself and comfort myself. And I want you to ask him, how are you going to comfort me, Father? How will you protect me?